Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 173 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim, it's Kevin, and we're here to talk about Acolyte. I do apologize for not having an episode last week, but my office flooded. So there is a thing, if you have a HVAC system, there is a thing called a floater switch that if your drip pan fills with water, it's supposed to trip and turn everything off.
Did not do that.
My floater switch did not turn everything off, so the drip pan overflowed. Oh. It is in this wall right here. So it spilled into my daughter's room and into my office. So I lost most of the carpet in my room, which if it's, I sound a little echoey, I'm sorry. That's the floor. And you may be able to see there's holes punched in the wall where they had to do some mold remediation and drying out. So that's why we did not have an episode, because I didn't even have computers in here. So,
but we're back.
We are making it work, making it work. It's a big week. It's Destiny 2 launch week. So all our friends, everyone's coming back to the game.
Dude, everybody. I saw like Noah J pop up playing Destiny. Yeah, I was like, man, I haven't seen Noah play Destiny in freaking years. I saw a bunch of people just pop up. I'm like, holy shit, I haven't seen these people forever. So that was really cool.
And then you're getting those emotional videos. For those that don't know, Destiny is how I got my start in all of this. Destiny 1 was, I should say podcasting, but Destiny 1 was instrumental in my content creation career, even podcasting. I used to have a podcast with my buddy's called Podcast Infinity. So if you play Destiny, that'll make you laugh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was me, Rob, Pete, and Wayne. This was pre-Mike.
What the fuck?
And then we met Mike, and Mike was doing, he called them jellies. They were like Necrochasm-only tournaments. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that. That's sick.
That's how we met Mike.
That's so cool.
And then I met Corey at Disney, and the rest is history.
Thanks, Kevin. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. Thanks, Kevin.
Destiny. You'd still be playing Fortnite. You'd be. Think of all the dads that would be connected to their children because you were still playing.
No, you're right.
Anywho, so it's a big week, but even bigger is like the month of the nerd. We had Acolyte released last night, which we're going to talk about today. First two episodes. We have House of the Dragon this month in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited for that. I saw a lot of people saying that once that's over, they're getting rid of their HBO subscription.
I mean, we're in that age, especially with inflation, where people are just buying stuff. Now, me and you are a little different. We have kids, so Disney Plus is almost a necessity.
It's a must. Holy shit.
Bluey and everything. And your son loves Young Jedi Adventures. So
he literally was watching that as I walked in the office.
For us, it's a necessity. But for some people, Acolyte, all right, I'm going to try it, and I'll order Disney for 2 months, and then I'm canceling it. Same with Max. Oh, new Game of Thrones show, order, cancel. So they're at the point where they're making these shows specifically to get people to subscribe and hope they forget they're subscribed, which is interesting. So, but yeah, big nerd month. Elder Scrolls Online dropped a a new DLC. So lots to do. Plus, we're planning GCX.
GCXEvent.com.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A huge creator focus this year. We'll be throwing all our eggs in that basket. We got a few activities we'll be announcing in the coming weeks for folks as to what you'll be able to do on the floor. There'll be some competitive stuff. So make sure you join us in Orlando, Florida at GCXEvent.com. You can grab your tickets and come hang out with your friends. Have a good time. Universal After Party tickets are up for sale. We'll be at Islands of Adventure this year. That'll be from 5 to 9, the regular park, and then from 9 to 12, we will be in the Jurassic Park area and the Marvel area. So, and the park will be closed, so it'll be just the GCX folks. Tim went last year.
Dude, I'm just going to be on Velocicoaster the whole freaking time.
I haven't gone, so I'm hoping I can make it this year and go. And Hulk. I love Hulk, too. So
love Hulk.
I love Spider-Man, too. Spider-Man's a fun ride.
I'm a roller coaster fiend.
So, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you on the roller coaster stuff, so... make sure you head over to GCXEvent.com and grab your tickets. But more importantly, we're sipping on some... equally as important, we're sipping on some King's Coast this morning. So, Tim, what are you drinking? Bowbreaker Espresso?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Some delicious Aztecs this morning in one of my wife's clients' cups.
Nice.
They gave her. So,
nice.
Nice, easy morning.
You can't beat Aztec. Mm-mm. So good.
Nope. So kingscoastcoffee.com. Hopefully you've seen all the content we've all been creating on the channel as well. So if you're not following Kings Coast on socials, you should do that. Because
Ben learned that TikTok hates Kevin.
Hates me.
Hates Kevin.
Hates me. Instagram, thank you. I love you too. TikTok hates me. Hates me. But
I did like your ASMR coffee video though. That was really good.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was solid.
Fuck them. This is how I feel. But Ben's throw up baby video was my favorite one.
It was solid. That was so good.
That's number one. And then you with the coconut is number two.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep.
The baby vomit was my idea. He was like, there's no way I can do this. And I'm glad he did it.
Oh my God. It was
freaking, I was like, Ben, you have to.
It was hilarious. So,
because if he wasn't going to do it, I was going to do it.
KingsCoastCoffee.com. And make sure you follow on all the socials so you can check out exactly what we're talking about. KingsCoastCoffee.com. This whole episode is Acolyte related, so we'll talk about the show, take a break, and
oh, we're not going to talk about the crappy Star Wars video game that came out?
No, I don't think it's worth it, but we can mention it. So
stop tagging me. Stop tagging me in it. I'm so tired of opening up my Twitter or TikTok or Instagram, and it's all you guys tagging me to play this game. I'm not touching it. Kevin literally sent me a video of him playing it in his bedroom.
That was Hunter,
not me. Oh, okay. His son was playing it, and I wanted to vomit. The tight FOV, the low frame rate, the colors. It was just like, it felt like an acid trip. Star Wars acid trip. I'm good.
The frame rate bothered me so much.
It looked horrible on the phone. I couldn't imagine what it felt like for your eyeballs.
I could not. It's like running at 20 FPS on the Switch. I can't do it.
It's purely mobile, and that's fine. My buddy Steve was he DM'd me last night. He's like, "Are you playing this?" I was like, "Nah, I'm not probably not gonna touch it." And he's like, "He was like the game is okay." He said the cosmetics are stupid expensive.
Yeah, that's what Hunter was saying because he wanted to be the Mandalorian character, and apparently you can only get him through real money. And you know he's playing with his friends, so they all want to be the Mandalorians together because they love the show. It's just not for me. If you need like an iPad game to pass the time and Diablo Immortal happens to be down, I would recommend playing this. That's my review of Star Wars Hunters.
Nice. But, so it's a good filler.
Yeah. I mean, if you have no access to no other games, you don't own a Steam Deck, you need a game for the iPad, Diablo Immortal is not available and you can hook an Xbox controller up to it. I don't think that's a bad play, but it's not a game I'm going to download on my Switch and play. There are other games I'd rather play on Switch. You know, I'd rather play Mario Kart for the 700,000th time on my Switch than play Hunters.
Fair. All right. Understood.
Feel.
Got that.
Is what it is.
On to the next.
That's our review.
Bam.
We give it one lightsaber out of five.
Oh, I like that. Very good. I like that. Very good.
There you go. Acolyte.
Yes.
I'll give you the top down and then we'll dive into the details for me and then give me yours.
Yes.
It hasn't hit yet for me.
Okay.
I find it interesting. I'm not sitting here like, I cannot wait for next week's episode, Tim.
Sure.
I'm not crazy about all the actors they chose.
Okay.
Some I love. I think Master Soul was a great choice. I love Lee Jung Jae from Squid Game. Vernestra, I don't know if it was me, maybe it was my TV. I don't know. The makeup just seemed weird.
Didn't hit right. It was kind of odd. It was a little awkward, right?
I was really excited to see Amiri Allen on screen, but it just wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't landing. I do love that Junis Suwatomo. I don't know how to say his name. Is Kilnaka. He's just eternally a Wookiee for the rest of his life. And the part that made me laugh the hardest was Kimir, Manny Jacinto's character, the shop poison guy.
He's great. I like him a lot.
Do you know where he's from? It was bothering me listening to his voice until it clicked. Did you ever see The Good Place?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. No. No, I wouldn't.
He's Jason from The Good Place. So if you've watched it,
I have not seen The Good Place.
Make the crowd laugh. I turned to my wife because she was like, "Who is that?" And I went, "Go Jaguars!" That is Jason from The Good Place. So that was interesting.
You watch a lot more TV than I do.
I mean, it's the time that Danielle and I get to spend together for an hour at night. So, and then we go to sleep because that's our life right now.
Maybe when I get older, I'll watch more TV.
There you go. You also work out at 4 now. I don't work out at 4 anymore, so that's a huge difference. I'm up till 11 now. You're in bed by 9:30.
Oh, 11? What is that time like?
I get up at 6.
Oh, my God.
I walk 3 miles, and then I do weights during the day.
Oh. Sounds so late.
Well, like, I get online, or you know, I wake up in the morning, and I see Jen's online playing Overwatch at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's like, She's like, I stream at 10 and I get off around 8. I'm like, oh.
She was on at 11:15 last night because I was checking Twitch before I went to bed. They were playing Magic.
Playing Magic with Olivia. Mm-hmm.
God, how does she do it?
These degenerates, dude. Like, apparently, like, that's what you have to do. Apparently,
real gamer hours.
Real gamer hours is at night. I'm missing out.
No,
just need to get rid of my family. Maybe I don't want a wife and kid. I want to go back to full time streaming.
Listen, if we leave our families, we'll just dedicate 18 hours a day to streaming. We'll live in a really dirty house together. I don't think
we'll call
either of us are.
We'll call it streamer house.
Streamer residence. Nothing about that sounds attractive.
That sounds horrible.
It's like, we'll do Acolyte watch party. No. No.
Kevin and I will have to we'll cuddle each other now because we got rid of our family.
Well, so I'm not I understand we're getting used to a new universe. I understand we're acquainting ourselves with these characters. I have not clicked with any character besides Master Soul so far.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Master Torben was a very interesting character, but he's dead. So
what's with all the cool Jedi's dying so fast? Okay, so like we open up in the Trinity dies in the first 5 minutes.
Well, I'm assuming she's coming back in flashbacks.
That's my feeling on it as well. I thought about it long and hard this morning, and I'm like, there's no way you can get a high priority actress like her to come and do 5 minutes. Like she has to be within the season, or I feel like that was just the biggest bait and switch ever. It'd be like on level of putting Ventress in Bad Batch.
Well, we have to see. Well, there's other scenes of her in the trailer, so I would assume.
I hope
so. At that point, that you know, there's flashbacks. We do need to solve the mystery of May and Osha.
See, okay, but that's what I love so much about this right now is I love that we opened up with a character that killed a Jedi, and then the way the cinematography was done, it really and the way that they wrote it. They really lead you to believe that she did it up until the fact she said that she has a sister. So that was really, really interesting to me. I really thought she was playing the whole, like, I didn't do it. And then when they get to the part where, like, no, we know, like when they brought the bar guy and he's like, that's her. And she looked like she was ready to fight. I'm like, oh, it's going to go down.
It was well done.
My
initial thought after episode one was we were dealing with a KOTOR situation where they wiped your mind.
That's what I thought, too.
And then, you know, some sort of evil dark side thing was happening, and she was like blacking out and going.
I thought she was getting
stuff.
Possessed. I thought she was getting possessed by the guy, by the dark, mysterious Sith guy that we don't know who he is. I was like, oh, this guy's possessing her, and he's making her go and do these terrible things. And the only thing that she knows when she's like fighting is she knows of all the bad stuff that happened to her. All the dark stuff comes out. Very so wrong.
I think, she's never. The only time we've ever seen her with the sister is the scene where she shoots at her with the blaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the only two things working against that are one, Yord followed her, had his eyes on her the entire time,
yep,
and didn't see her. Two, she's on the ship with Master Sol when the first attack on Master Torben happens.
Right. So we know for a fact they're twins. And so the logo makes so much more sense now with the two rings. They're a dyad.
That was my next
point. They're a dyad. They're 100% a dyad. And it's the same. It's almost the same level of twin that you have in the comic books in High Republic. Those two twins that are the same person, but they're two different people, but they're connected. And they almost have like one sentient mind.
I forget their names. I'm going to look them up
right now. It's almost the same thing. Because like they're connected when they went through like this dream together and they were talking, like they are connected very much so through the Force. It's almost like Rey and Ben.
So Tarek and Sarah are Bond twins, closer bond than regular twins. They were siblings that effectively shared a gestalt mind. So they almost have a hive mind.
Right. They are collectively together. These two are separate, but they're still bound together by something. And that explains why they also changed the logo. You know that they changed the entire Acolyte logo halfway through, because originally it was that lightsaber like red scar mark through the wall.
Yep.
And then they flipped it on us and they put the rings in there, and the ring like it starts as one and then it separates and opens up into two. And I'm like, oh, that's what all of that means. The two rings are going to be talking about the relationship of these two sisters.
So if you go back and watch the sequels and you look at the way that Rey is able to communicate with Kylo and back and forth in the latter part of it, it's very similar the way they're like that. Osha keeps.
She calls her going. Oshi as a.
Yeah, that's why it confused me when she said that to her.
Yeah.
When she was the way she like walks and follows and she goes into this other place.
Yeah, she goes into just like a dream state almost.
I don't think it's the same way that Rey and Kylo were connected. I actually think it's something deeper and possibly sinister.
Yeah.
We know that there's some sort of witches in this from the trailer. Mother Anasea is her name. We looked at her bio way back when they first put it up on the website. And it says she's in six episodes. So the next week we'll probably be introduced to whoever this coven of witches is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if this has something to do with them too.
Sure.
They look a little... So for Legends fans, don't jump all over me. I'm saying from the look in the trailer, there are similarities to them in the Legends versions of the Night Sisters. There are similarities there. Okay. We know Leslie Headland is a huge Old Republic fan.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sick.
Yes, because she has said in multiple interviews she's a huge Old Republic fan, and she like wants to introduce elements of Old Republic.
So I had a KOTAR. There was a KOTAR moment in the first episode that I thought was very interesting. I was like, oh, that looks like Knights of the Republic. When the guy signaled to the cyborg to hack the pilots.
Yep.
To me, that felt very like RPG-esque, where you're like you take control of one of your henchmen, one of your characters that you have a part of your group, and you tell them to do something. And I was like, that whole moment right there, it was very fast, but in that moment I was like, oh, it's KOTAR. I just thought that little moment was very neat.
How do you feel that Star Wars, like the current version of Star Wars, is they're leaning heavily into a more almost cyberpunk aesthetic at times? Like we saw it a bit in Book of Boba Fett with that street gang.
It makes so much sense. They needed to go this route. I don't think that the prosthetics and the makeup, and I think over the overall direction of Star Wars originally, you kind of saw, you know, Luke's mechanical hand, right? Vader is almost steampunk-ish in a way. You know, you've got the amalgamation of machine and organic. You know, you have like these, there are cyborg-esque style things. You even see it in the in Cloud City in Bespin, the guy who's got the communicator that's like tied into his head. We started to see it, you know, in small pieces, but I like that they're going more, they're leaning heavier into the cyborgs, or having this these biomechanical implants to enhance yourself. I think having enhanced humanoids in Star Wars makes so much sense. The technology is there. If they have intergalactic travel, and they've got hyperspeed, they've got, you know, they're traveling through hyperspace, they are talking to a vast amount of aliens with all different types of technologies. It would make sense for that to happen, this organic and mechanical meshing. I think it's cool. I'm all for it. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. I love cyberpunk. You know, I like Blade Runner. I enjoyed Cyberpunk the video game. You know, I like the cyberpunk aesthetic. I like steampunk. Steampunk's kind of there. Steampunk is very much so like the mechanical and bio being mixed together. Yeah, more of it, please. I love it. It makes sense. It fits. It fits when it's right. If everybody had it, if it was everywhere, that would be too much. But I like seeing it sprinkled in, because it would make sense.
I'm amazed. I'm looking at the reviews on IMDb, because I kept it up so we would know all the character names, because
there's so many of them. Yeah,
it's ones or tens. That's all it is. There's no medium. Like, and this is the polarization that I'm talking, that Tim and I have been talking about with the fandom. Like, there's no room for my reaction is this show could potentially be good, but I want to know what all 8 episodes bring. And I feel like I say this a lot, Tim, with other series and stuff. Like, it may not be the show until we get to the end and we figure everything out. Like, it may not be, the full picture needs to be there to have the full breadth of the show. And it's this culture of like instant gratification, where if the first episode like doesn't give you everything you expected,
yeah,
you instantly hate it. Or you have to go on the defense and be this white knight for Star Wars and give it tens across the board because you feel this, I don't know, some sort of crusade anger against people that don't like it. And then there's people like Tim and I who are probably 85% of the fandom caught in the middle, like, we're just going to wait and see what happens. And we're going to go to Disney and sip on crappy blue milk with tequila in it.
I won't do that.
I won't either. I'm just saying.
So, I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. The last two episodes, I really liked. Yeah. I like Star Wars Kung Fu.
Okay.
As someone who has a martial arts background, who grew up really enjoying, you know, Japanese films, Chinese films, you know, with like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. There's a lot of different samurai movies that I grew up watching. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was probably the reason. Power Rangers is probably the reason why I enjoy martial arts so much. The choreography was phenomenal. All the fight scenes, I love this whole acolyte not, you know, trying to get these kills without using a weapon. I want to know more about this. Like, what is the path of an acolyte? And where does this stem from? Where does this ruling come from of making a kill without a weapon? And this whole like attack me with all of your might and like all this shit. Like, there's a lot of like question marks. I'm like, what does this mean? And what is that? But going through and just appreciating the choreography and the cinematography, I 10 out of 10, like all of that, it was so nice to have fight scenes that didn't involve a lightsaber. It was cool. I love that Yord. Okay, first of all, Yord is hot and he is a Jedi daddy. And holy shit, I love that we have a Jedi who doesn't like to keep his clothes on. I think it's great. Yellow lightsaber, also awesome. Like, this guy, like, if I was a Jedi, like, Yord would be me.
Would you be as annoying and pious as he is, too?
No, I don't think so. I think I'd be more like Sol, which I also love Sol and what's her name? I'm blanking because it's May's sister. Osha. I like Sol. New name's going to take me a little bit. I like Sol and Osha's relationship already. I think that right there, there's a lot more to it. I want to know what happened. There's definitely a lot of things. I love the whole part of like,
I failed you. Jedi did something wrong.
Yeah, of course. Most definitely. And like, and that's the other thing too, is like, there's three sides to a story, man. There's your side of the story, their side of the story, and what actually happened. And so I want to know why Osha thinks that May died, when they both said they when Sol and OSHA said we saw her die, and then OSHA's or May's like my sister's dead because of you. So right. She's on this like vengeful vendetta to kill the Jedi who were responsible for her daughter or for her sister's death. But then on the flip side, Sol and OSHA are saying that May is the reason that her family died because she started a fire. What? And what kind of fire are we talking about? Are we talking like, you know, she was messing around in the kitchen or did she drop a bomb? And why? What was the whole point? What was the catalyst of it all? So again, like I love it. And so I could totally understand like why for you, you might not like this. And like, and for you, I mean like Star Wars fans as a whole, like we're given a murder mystery. And so mysteries are not fun at the beginning because first of all, you've got to lay the groundwork for all your characters. You've got to, and we're also in a new time era. So we're in the High Republic. The opening scroll was like, hey, we have to explain exactly what the High Republic is or no one's going to understand. So, like, there's going to be a lot of explanation going on and then also this adventure that we're going on, too. So it's going to be a little dragged out. It's going to be like Andor. Andor was kind of dry for a little bit, and then, boom, we were off to the races.
Andor, I felt like I was on the edge of my seat, though, especially by episode 3. Well,
but it's
again,
not because there
fair.
Was so much more action. I think this is more of, like, because it's mystery, like, for me, it's the running through of, like, what happened. You know, like, I get to kind of, like, we're getting to piece all of this together.
They
it's
have
like NCIS.
Curiosity.
It's like we're watching Law and Order, but for Star Wars. I think it's dope.
They have my curiosity. They don't have my excitement yet, if that makes sense. And again, I am willing to go the 8 episodes to find out what that is. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break and continue this conversation.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kevin's got to pee.
One thing I find interesting about the fire. So like you said, there's three sides of the story. You kind of analyzed it. It seems like the fire was in a forest, too, based on the vision that OSHA had.
And there was snow.
At first, you think there's, you know, that, okay, maybe May did start the fire. Her reaction with Master Torben tells me the complete opposite story of what everyone else in the Jedi Order is saying.
Right?
So he said, first of all, he took a bearish vow. A bearish vow, for those that don't know, was an oath taken by Jedi who completely refrained from all activities related to the Jedi Order. As a form of penitence, disengaging from anything but the Force itself and committing themselves to gaining ultimate communion with it. That's someone who did something wrong and
he
is paying for it.
He fucked up real...
So
like,
right there! Also, can we level on one other point that came up? In the episode when Vernestra Rowe is talking to Master Sol, something that Tim and I drilled to you all, when everyone got upset at the existence of Sith in the show, saying, but the Jedi Council said 1,000 years, no Sith. They were already trying to sweep something under the rug. In the first episode, in the first 15 minutes, they literally said they do not want it to get out that a former pupil killed a master because of how it will affect their
Dude,
political
how
opponents.
How fragile is the Republic? Like I want to know, like, are they just teetering on the brink of destruction at all points of time? Like, they are so worried that a Jedi master died at the hands of someone that they don't know, and they're afraid that that would tip the scales. What the fuck?
A pupil, a former pupil. That was the...
But still, I mean, at that point, but even then, they still want to keep it under the rug. They're still worried about what could happen.
My point being, if they're willing to hide that in the first 15 minutes of the show, you don't think they would hide the existence of the Sith for over 1,000 years? Come on.
Why would you teach that? You wouldn't.
If you want to keep bringing that point up, I'm going to say this, and I try to keep all points of view open, but now you're just being controversial for the sake of being controversial because you're not applying real world ethics and morals into the situation and understanding how things like the government works, the church works, all of these things that hide things from all of us for the better, for the greater good, air quotes for the audio listeners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to point that out because in the first 15 minutes I picked up on that. Second interesting thing about May and her training with this mysterious stranger who I don't even know is a Sith. Keep that in mind. Just because you have a red lightsaber doesn't make you a Sith.
I don't think she's Sith.
I'm talking about the stranger himself.
I don't even think that guy's Sith.
I don't either. For some reason, I don't
think
he's
a Sith. He's some dark side force user. I would not put him within the ranks of Sith. I would definitely put him in the ranks of dark bad guy.
I think he's probably, this is my theory, he's probably a former Jedi who found the Sith holocron or something.
They even said that in the opening. In the opening, they talked about people learning the Force in the dark depths of the corners of space. That looks like a guy who went looking in the deep, dark corners of space and found he found Hot Topic.
I know this is my pie in the sky, and I've said this in the past in the 173 episodes we've done now. I hope we finally get to see live action Korriban because of someone going searching for things that they shouldn't be looking for.
Sure. I mean, like, look at the armor.
But I'm going to hope.
It would be cool. The armor is very interesting to me. The armor that she wears is very interesting. I keep on looking at it, and like the top has like the wood that's laid. It's very Asian. There's a lot of like Asian Pacific influence there, which I absolutely love.
She's dressed like that coven of witches we see in the trailer who we'll meet next week.
Yeah, and she's got the like chainmail on and stuff. I love her outfit. May's outfit. May's outfit is very cool.
The interesting part to lend deeper into the Sith theory is when she's talking to Khmer in the shop. Khmer, mm-hmm. again, is the poison
guy. Yeah, the apothecary guy.
They say peace is a lie. That they were taught peace is a lie. Peace is a lie is part of the Sith code.
Because
the Sith code literally mirrors the Jedi code. It just is the antithesis of it. So right out
of the
gate.
Did you know that that was made up?
The Sith code?
Yeah. Do you know who made it up?
No, I don't know.
It was Dave and Sam.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they put it in KOTOR.
I could have sworn there was a video. There's a video of Sam talking about the Jedi or the Sith code.
No, I know what you're talking about. He made it canon because he did it in Clone Wars.
That's what it was. He made it canon. Okay, that's what it was. Because he started whispering it as Maul because he was going crazy. And Maul's like he's like repeating it to himself in that episode where you find him in the cave.
I actually just saw this week too. He knew that. With the Disney purchase, that the only thing that was going to remain canon at the time was Clone Wars. So he knew if he voiced it into Clone Wars, it would now be canon. So he was doing it in a way to preserve the Sith code.
Okay, I thought when I got the video, I was like, did Sam Witwer come up with the freaking Sith code?
No, Sith code's from Legends. He was making sure it remained canon by putting it into, without it being in his script, he put it into the show on purpose.
That's so dope.
So now it preserved the Sith code as part of the actual canon lore.
Well done,
but yeah, the Sith code is peace is a lie. There's only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken, and the Force shall set me free. So right out of the gate, we're getting a hint to the Sith code. So even if this person isn't like one of the two Sith that are alive at this time, they know the Sith code. We know that much now. So they are, even if they're not an actual Sith, also too, I've always thought of this. So there's only two, right, at any given time? Darth Bane started the rule of two.
Yes.
Who's to say that someone doesn't go searching for... It is a big galaxy. Can we say that off the get-to? It is a very large galaxy.
Massive.
Who's to say that fallen Jedi goes looking for it, finds it, they go, well, I'm now the Sith Lord.
Right.
The rule of two doesn't mean that there's only two at any given time. It means that if you encounter someone who's the third, one of you's dying, and then there'll only be two left.
Yeah.
Like, that's... how I feel.
Yeah, the rule of two is just designed so that you have a master who has power and an apprentice who craves it. That's all that it is. That's
and
the only...
Some outsider comes in. They can say they're a Sith. Whoever wins is the true Sith.
Sure. Who has the most power?
That's it. That's all it boils down to. So,
and then you have an apprentice who craves it. And then the rule of two continues on.
So whether it's Darth Tenebris or Darth Plagueis, who's alive right now, who's the Sith, maybe both of them, maybe one of them, because we're Palpatine's not even born yet. Let's make sure everyone understands that. Whoever does that, then who's to say that this stranger that we found just didn't figure things out on their own over the past, I don't know, 10, what had they say, 15 years since she was 6 years? 6 years?
She hasn't trained in 6 years. She's like 16. I guess she's like in her 20s because he was like 16 years ago I found her and she was like 8 years old or something like that. She's like 24.
Okay.
Yeah. So the last time she trained, she was six. She was 6 years ago. So she was 18.
Yeah. So who knows?
So she didn't get to, so she didn't do her trials. She was still a Padawan. She didn't become knight. And that's why when she found Yor, she's like, Yor, look at you.
One theory that I saw thrown out on the internet that I found very interesting was that Yord is the stranger.
No. That's dumb.
I know he's not because he's in the scene where the stranger throws the lightsaber at them and does the force howl.
Oh, yeah. In the trailer.
He's standing next to Saul, but I was like, that would be an interesting dynamic because then when he was like, I had eyes on her, it completely erases the theory and she could be like,
but that's the joys of it. But that's the joys of a mystery. Like, that's what's so cool about a mystery show like this is that you don't know who's good and who's bad. You don't know who in the Jedi Order is the bad guy. It could be someone amongst their ranks. You don't know.
Do you also notice the attitude of the Jedi and how different they are than the ones we know? Like, it's this pious, I'm right, you're wrong, we're better than you, we know best. We're the peace and security in the galaxy. They're annoying.
That's why I like Sol so much. Because Sol isn't like that.
Well, he reminds me of Yoda, who is alive
Yoda,
and will probably
like,
be in the
or
show.
Or even like Qui-Gon, you know, very much so just like, this is, you know, like, I'm a Jedi, the Force is my ally, but I'm no better than anyone else. Like, I like that. He just seems like a good person. He's a servant of the people.
And even in the second episode, he's like, we know she's going after Kel Naka. We have to go to, I forget the planet that he was
on.
Yeah,
and they're like, no, you need to come back and we need to strategize talk. And we have meetings and talk about this shit. Why?
They're going to go after him. Also, Kel Naka just looks like he's out there living his best
life. Kel Naka looks
life.
Like a happy little hermit, and they should just leave him be.
Reminds me of Jolie Bindo from KOTOR, just
very
living on
so.
A planet in the woods. It's like,
that's how I
want to
live my life. I just want to go live in the my rest of my days out in the middle of nowhere.
In a crash
amongst
spaceship
the trees.
With good 5G internet.
Yeah. He's been eating well. He looks fine.
He's very... He cracked me up the way
he just snaps the blaster. Could you imagine a Wookiee with Force powers? Like, they're already strong and powerful. Like, they like rip people's arms off for fun. Now they can do it with the Force. That's scary.
Because we've only seen kids. We've seen Gungi and we've seen, what's the other one from High Republic? From the books.
Oh, crap. I know.
Bell's friend.
I'm totally blanking on it because we thought he died and then he comes back. I can't think. Baryaga. I really wanted Yord to be Belzedifar.
He was.
I really thought he was too, but the timeline doesn't match up at all.
No.
But like.
Same hair.
I love it. I love that.
I really like Daphne Keene's character.
Yes, I do too.
The way when he was like, what we'll do is, and his plan was like, we're going to say,
why don't we just we send just do her this. Ass in there? Yeah, I like her a lot.
And even her with the ship, like they have the person trapped. No one's doing anything. They're like, surrender in the name of the Galactic Republic because, you know, we demand that
because
kind of respect.
Because she does everything by the books. Every time that she wanted to speak, permission to speak freely. Like, it's like military. Like, she's acting like she's a cadet.
But these older Jedi, like Master Sol and Yoda, and them, they all don't do it by the book because by this point they've figured it out that the Jedi are too restrictive. And they even the way he explained away his attachment to Osha when she was like, you know, like you shouldn't. Why are you keeping this, you know, hologram of her? And he's like, if you don't remember the past, you know, you're doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole thing. Like, how are you supposed to go through your entire life without caring for other people? I'm not saying you have to fall in love. I'm not saying you have to have a family, but to not care for anyone your entire life. I find that to be insane.
Yeah.
And that's probably the number one reason why Jedi fall is because they're told they're not supposed to care about anybody. So I love that we're getting a Jedi, like you said, very similar to Qui-Gon, very similar to Yoda. I'm like 99.9% sure, even if it's for 2 seconds, we will see Yoda in the show.
Oh, most definitely. It'd be silly if he didn't show up.
And Yariel Poof he's alive too. He's part of the council as well. Is he's a master at this point, because it's only 100 years in his 900 year life.
Okay, I had to go look at who Yariel Poof was for a second. Okay, yeah, he's the really long neck guy.
In the books, he's the one who talks like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, he's yeah.
Yoda would be about, he'd be like
700 or 800,
almost 700 years old now. It's about 100 years before the Empire,
but he's 900 in. On Dagobah, right?
You be. Yeah, so he's like 750.
He's 770, somewhere around there.
Something.
You think he's like still looking like an old man or a little more spry?
He probably looks a little bit more spry now. I mean, like in Young Jedi, he's 600 years old.
And he still has the cane in Young Jedi.
He still
Jedi
has
adventures.
The cane, yeah. But he moves around pretty. But he doesn't have the dreads or anything like that. You know? Like, that's got to be. Like, I want to go way back. Like, let me go way back when with Dread Yoda.
Oh, when he was like Warrior Yoda, like yeah, 400
yeah, yeah.
years old?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to see that.
So, it would be interesting. Could you imagine like a Yoda show where we just go through his entire life?
It'd be a long ass show, Kevin.
It'd be 9 seasons.
every season's 100 years. Every episode's a 10 year jump.
We kind of don't need the last season. We know how that ends.
Yeah, we know how that one ends up.
We just need eight seasons. They have my interest. I'm just not like, I'm not dying for next week's episode. It's not like a Game of Thrones or Andor. Now, I will say this. Andor, I can't tell you. I have to go back and listen to the episodes, how I felt between episodes. I am now looking at it from the standpoint of, essentially, how do I say this? I watched all of Andor, and that's how I remember it. I can't tell you how I felt after episode 1 of Andor. So I might be singing a different tune after episode 8 of this. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give a review. I'm withholding my judgment. But that's where I'm just letting everyone know. This is how I feel today.
Yeah. I like it. I'm excited to watch more. Like overall, I thought I like the storytelling. I think the writing is really enjoyable. I really like the cinematography, the choreography. I like the lens that they shot this through. I think it's interesting too how they do their cuts into the next episode. It's a really like it's just a it the way that they end it is designed to go right into the next one. It's a fast cut. It's just bam, done. And then then credits. And so I like that because, like, if you stitched it all together, it probably could just be one long show.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I think that's neat. I think, like, what Leslie has done with this so far, I like the route. I like what we've seen so far. I think, like, what they've laid out for us, very enjoyable. Excited for more.
There you go. Are there any other Easter eggs or anything that you picked up in the show?
Just a couple things. I mean, like, you know, like the little security door droid that came out, instead of having one eye, he had two, which I thought was interesting. So like seeing that system, like the very stereotypical door guard that we see in Star Wars, a little different. Thought that was neat. Seeing a yellow lightsaber, very cool. Other than that, as far as like Easter eggs, I mean, like we saw different types. I will have to say big props for the level of diversity in creatures and
oh
aliens.
Gosh, yeah.
There were so many. There were so many different types of practical makeup, prosthetic, you know, additions and creations of creatures in this that I feel like we haven't seen in a bit.
And so big props. Like, they really made these worlds feel alive. And I really, really like that.
So as we do with all shows, I'll run down Screen Rant's Easter eggs. I'll skip through it. There's 32, and not all of them are Easter eggs, in my opinion. So right out of the gate, our interesting character with the black face, the like sack, and the two red eyes.
That was Kubaz. Cool.
That's Kubaz? The Kubaz. Yep. Who we know from a few of the other movies, I think, namely New Hope. The Kubaz are in out of the gate. That one. They do mention having fun on Nar Shaddaa at one point.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
If you don't know Nar Shaddaa, it's the casino. It's the Las Vegas of Star Wars, or one of them, because Canto Bight is there too. Mm-hmm. We got to see the Nemoidians, and they mentioned being part of the Trade Federation,
which I thought was very, very neat. We haven't seen a Nemoidian in a while.
Since the prequels.
And it was cool to hear them like mention like Trade Federation. So we know that Trade Federation's been around for a bit.
So the trick that Yord uses on the Nemoidian, that is not a Jedi mind trick. That's a Jedi mind probe, which is what Kylo Ren does to people. That's going inside your brain and taking the information out, not persuading you to offer it up.
That's cool.
So that's not exactly considered a Jedi trait.
No, that's sick. I like that a lot.
Osha's spacesuit looks just like Ahsoka Tano's work suit when she's in space. It's just different colors.
I like how they don't call it. They call them
mechnecks
and not like mechanics or anything like that. And knowing that like mechnecks were replaced by astrodroids,
mm-hmm.
but they still keep them around, you know, in case mm-hmm. if an astrodroid can't do something. So it goes to show you how far astrodroids have come along since this, which is neat because people don't ever go on spacewalks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Osha confirms to Yord she works for CorpSec. That's Corporate Sector of the Outer Rim. We heard about that in Andor. Essentially, the corporate zone is separate from the Republic and will eventually join the Separatists in the Clone Wars. The Jedi Vector that attaches to the Nemoidian ship, that's a new ship from the High Republic books, specifically designed for the Jedi at this time. Obviously, the white and gold robes, indication of the High Republic Love Jedi. The one Jedi that's with Yord, do you know what species she was? Because I found
the
this.
One with the one with the big ears that looked like a mermaid?
You know what that is?
I have no freaking clue.
She's a Zygerian. They were the slave traders in Clone Wars. The cat-like people?
No.
Yep. She's a Zygerian.
She doesn't look like a cat?
Mm-hmm. She is a Zygerian. They were the evil slave traders in Clone Wars.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like that. She looked like a mermaid. Oh, I see it now.
Mm-hmm.
She still doesn't look like a cat. She doesn't look like a cat, mommy.
The Jedi Temple on Coruscant is not as built up around it as it is when we get to the prequels.
Yep.
So it's a little bit... The temple looks higher, but it's because the area around it isn't as built up yet.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Master Sol, when he's talking to the younglings, mentions how the Force is an ocean. Who else has said that to us?
Yeah, I like that. The Force is an ocean or a fire, and it's powerful, and you must respect it. And I thought that was really cool.
Elzar Mann describes the Force as an ocean.
Mm.
I see
it now. She does. Okay. Yeah. I guess we've only ever seen the Zygerian in animated, and so it's just like it's that transition from animated to live action. I see it now. Now that I'm going through some like more like cuts or different like screenshots, they have whips. They're the ones that use those energy whips.
Yep, which is interesting because we're going to see one.
We're going to see a lightsaber
Vernestra has
whip.
One. I don't know if this is an Easter egg as much as speculation, but I'll read it anyway. The child who sees fire.
Yes.
Is that her seeing Order 66 in the Force in the future?
It could be just like she's starting to see premonitions of what the future could be. Yeah.
Osha's last name is Anaseya. Anaseya is the mother's name of this witch coven that we're going to meet next week.
Oh, fuck.
So there's more there. We talked about Vernestra Rowe.
And she's a Rowe, right?
R-W-O-H.
Oh, it's spelled differently. Okay.
Yep.
I wasn't sure she somehow got intermingled with the Rowes, but okay.
No, they talk about sending pro-droids to the planet where Osha's ship crashes.
Yes.
Reference to Empire Strikes Back probe droids.
I mean, like, they just said they were just pro-droids. I don't know if they're like Imperial pro-droids.
Ice Planet probe droids.
Stretch, but okay.
Jeki, which is Daphne Keene's character, she's a half Thielen, so we've rarely seen Thielen in any Star Wars stuff. Like, rarely. She's a half Thielen. She's not a full one.
Thielen, spelled T-H-E-E-L-I-N. They also look like merfolk people.
Mm-hmm. Tim mentioned Yord's yellow lightsaber.
Oh, do you know where we've seen a Thielen before?
Where?
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, in his... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, whoa, whoa. That just clicked.
Empire, it's Return of the Jedi. She's one of the dancers. She's got the red hair. Yep.
The cool. Psychedelic space parasite, the Dybbuk.
Oh, my God. That thing was terrifying. The face hugger.
Everyone's saying how much it resembles aliens. Everyone's saying it's a nod to the Alien franchise.
It felt like it.
If you have not seen the trailer of the new Alien, as a huge fan of the Alien franchise,
I've heard it's really good.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I've been burned so many times, and I love Alien.
Predator was good. Hulu Predator was good.
It was decent. It was okay. But Prometheus should have been stellar, and it wasn't.
No, I didn't like but they're retconning Prometheus. This is basically like Prometheus
should have been like really good because like that was the start of it all. And then the one after that, the one with like the prequel, that was just like it just felt like just a rehash of everything else. Like it was again, the AI's bad or the cyborg's bad, the AI's bad. They want to corporatize the alien and use it for making money, and that was it. It was like, "Oh, so like every other alien movie I've ever seen." Thank you.
Well, we'll see what this one brings. Osage's force back vision. We talked about that mirroring ray in the sequels. We talked about the dyad potential. Mm-hmm. The Jedi Outpost Olega. And if you read the High Republic build books, you know that the Jedi had outposts across the galaxy. If you're reading The Living Force, which is the latest book in the Skywalker era, you know that the Jedi are pulling out from those outposts. Mm-hmm. They're leaving them. They're abandoning them. So... interesting that one-sided story is telling how they're in the outposts, and then we go 100 years in the future, and the Jedi are pulling back from, especially from the Outer Rim, on a lot of these outposts because they can't man them anymore. We talked about the purpose of the astromechs.
Do you think they start pulling back because of what happens with Markion and him taking over and having the occlusion zone?
No, because this is after that.
I know, but I'm saying, do you think after the fact? And they realized that because they got stretched so thin that after that happened, they're like, we can't handle all of that anymore. And we need to focus on being more centralized.
Could
instead
be.
Of trying to just run everything and just let the government do it.
I think it's also they didn't have the resources and manpower to man them anymore. So the Outer Rim was the easiest place to abandon first, especially because the aggression is.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, it's always been like the Outer Rim has always been the place where all the villains and go and hide out. Like that's where all of the bad stuff happens. That's where Outlaws takes place. Like it's going to be like it's always the Wild West out there.
May killing Jedi. Killing Jedi is a traditional Sith trial in Legends. And we also know from the Darth Vader comics, it's how he brings Inquisitors into the fold as well.
Yes.
The interesting part is that usually involves bleeding a kyber crystal, which is not happening with Mei. So that's
we haven't got to that part yet. We don't know what the path of the acolyte is,
and we don't know if she even has a lightsaber.
She does. I mean, she keeps reaching for lightsabers. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Every time that she's done in combat against a Jedi, she reaches for the lightsaber and she never grabs it. She always misses.
We talked about Sith code. We talked about the Barish Vow. We did discuss memory wide.
I loved that his meditation created a bubble around him. I thought that was so badass. Like he is so deep in meditation, he had to use the force to protect himself so nothing bad would happen.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Yord, Master Yord, at one point
he's Jedi Knight.
Sorry, Jedi Knight Yord. Yeah, he even says that in the show. We hear him say, "I got a bad feeling about this." Which
I
is
like
becoming,
that. I thought that was good.
It's becoming tradition to say it in every show now. I don't know
Very
if you've
much
noticed
so.
That.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed.
If you notice when Osha's shooting at Mei, she's not trying to kill her. Those are stun blasts.
Those are stun blasts. Yep, they come out in the circle and she misses on purpose.
Oh, 100%.
She totally but misses on purpose.
Why?
Because I think she wants to know. I think that she knows that they're not going to get the answers by capturing her. They're better off following her.
And
also,
last,
it would kind of just like ruin the show if they just stunned her in episode two.
The last bit of information, when we talk to Khmer, he talks about being a gun runner for the Hutts, right?
Yes.
Well, when we get to see Kelnaka, what are the two gun runners? What language are they speaking?
They're speaking Huttese, right?
Yep, they are mm-hmm. Huttese gun runners going after Kelnaka for salvage. So,
well, they were on the planet looking at salvage. They didn't know that Kelnaka was there.
No, they're just trying to salvage. They're not. I'm just saying it was. But a
they
nice
were
nod.
They were speaking Huttese because I was like, that sounds like what Watto says. In there was a couple of words that popped up, and I was like, I've heard these before. That sounds very familiar.
I've played enough Star Wars: The Old Republic to know Huttese when I hear it because mm-hmm. There's a whole expansion. The Hutt cartel, you have to communicate with them, and that. Solo. But that's it. That's Acolyte episode one and two.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see more. I'm all for a different type of Star Wars show. Yes, there's Jedi. Yes, there's the Force. Yes, there's lightsabers, but there's so much more. Than what I think that we're accustomed to when it comes to Star Wars. I think it's nice not to be caught up in the Skywalker saga. And I think that's what has been so enjoyable for me, and that's why I love the High Republic so much, is because, yes, it's about Jedi, yes, it's about the Force, but it's in a timeline that we are so unfamiliar with, and that's why I've loved the books for the most part. I think I would say, like, 75% of all of the High Republic medium that we've gotten so far has been very enjoyable, and it's awesome to see it in live action now, and I'm happy. I'm happy with what we've seen so far. There it is.
Cool.
That's it.
My take is that I want to see them all, and look, if you don't enjoy it, I'm okay with that. You're allowed to not enjoy something, but for the love of God, don't shit on things that people are enjoying. That's all I ask. You're totally well within your right to not enjoy something.
Critique the crap out of it.
When Tim and I don't enjoy something, we're very vocal about it, and we're okay with that. But I will never, ever, ever say you don't like. I say all the time how bad of a movie Phantom Menace is, but I'm not going to come at someone. We had Rex on 2 weeks ago. He loves the Phantom Menace. I didn't sit there and berate him for loving the Phantom Menace. So just leave people alone if they're enjoying it. Say your piece and move on. That's all we ask. That's it. Be respectful. For me, I want to know what happens through the entire series, and then I will give my full, honest opinion on The Acolyte. And until then, we'll be here for the next 6-7 weeks or so, figuring out what that looks like.
Man, are we going to talk about Acolyte at TCX, or is it going to be over by then?
It'll be over. It ends the 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before GCX. So we can analyze it with whoever we have on there, which... looking like Batty, because he wants to come on the show, and he'll be at GCX anyway. So,
dude, Batty on stage talking about Star Wars is gonna be wild.
Yeah, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see who else we can get up there and
throw land cards at him.
Enjoy us. All the Star Wars folks either haven't gotten back to me or can't make it.
No, they're all going to. They're all going to Tokyo.
And they all these people got invited to freaking the was that LA? That was the LA office. That was the LA office. Immediately texted Alex. I was like, "Oh my god, you met Filoni!" He was like, for 5 seconds, but it was awesome.
Dude, I don't know how we get on the Star Wars list, but I saw people were getting promo boxes for Acolyte.
Hey, we're huge Star Wars fans. If you haven't noticed, for the 173 episodes we've recorded, we do this off the air too. Just so you know, Tim and I will get together and we continue talking about Star Wars. This is not just
on
like
our
a microphone
streams.
In front of my face. We do it on streams. Yeah.
I'll talk about Star Wars in front of 1,000+ people every day.
Come on. Give us some promo materials. All I've gotten so far is this really awesome Grogu controller.
It's not even the Grogu controller. That's just
Yes, it is.
Is it?
I just took the thing off of it.
Oh, you took it. Oh, there it is. Okay, I see it now. Yeah. Grogu green. Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a very nice controller. I use it all the time. We would like some more.
We got a controller, Kev.
We couldn't even get the card game. That was the most annoying one. I'm not going to lie.
I don't even think no one's really talking about it anymore.
Yeah, the person that said like the game will
like
be fantasy, dead on arrival might
like
be
fantasy
right.
Fantasy of Flight was, you know, kind of shit the bed on that one. They have a bunch of sets coming out. They have like six sets.
Well, my buddy Rob's coming for 4th of July week, so if you want to play some Magic and some Star Wars Unlimited, he'll be here.
I don't want to play Star Wars Unlimited, but I love playing Magic.
I'll tell him to bring his most evil decks.
Oh.
Oh. Well, I mean, I don't have anything that can go up against your stuff, so we'll...
I know.
He's got, like, crazy... I don't know.
I just built out this Krenko deck, and I'm very excited, Kevin. It's Oops All Goblins.
Oops All Goblins. And when will you be using that deck?
I mean, it's all upgraded now, so...
I was asking, when's the next time you're streaming Magic?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's Destiny Week. Maybe we'll probably play Magic sometime this week.
There you go. Darkness 429 everywhere on the internet, especially Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok. Kevin, you streaming this week? I know you've been kind of like, you've been busy.
I've been busy, and then I had a flood, so I haven't streamed in 2 weeks, but I'm going to do it today. And
nice. What are you going to play?
I was going to do it Destiny. Okay. For the first time in 5 years.
Nice.
2019 was the last time I loaded Destiny up. We've been through a whole last pandemic and stuff since then. Wow. I was going to play it last night, but then I saw everyone getting Cerberus.
Oh, yeah, they were getting Honeydude and Cerberus, like, and whatever.
I'm
going to
go relax and watch Acolyte. So I did that.
Great idea. Awesome idea.
And you can find us wherever we are on the internet. We're Star Wars and Scotch collectively. Star Wars, Scotch, Star Wars, and Scotch in all of the places. So please go rate, review, subscribe. Thank you so much for the kind words on Spotify. Don't think we didn't see those. I did see all those reviews, so we appreciate it.
Spotify?
Yeah, there's like a repository you can click and like leave messages and questions. Are they nice? Like that. Oh, everyone on Spotify is nice.
Really?
Yeah, it's definitely not TikTok.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the YouTube people are realistic. Sometimes they can be a little upset with something we say, but I've never had a YouTube comment where I'm like, I need to block that or something.
Uh-huh.
TikTok, I stopped reading. I'm sorry. You are all, not all, I won't group you in collectively, but a good chunk of you are not nice.
Thankfully, they won't see that. They won't even know that you're saying that.
No, because none of them listen
unless
to the
whole editor
show.
Makes like the cut of saying like, TikTok, you f-ing suck. Like, we're good.
Maybe.
We're great.
But yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it. But we'll be back next week, episode 3 of Acolyte. There's no more double weeks, so it's all single episodes moving forward from here on out. So 6 more episodes to go. We'll see how the show goes. But we're excited to have a show to talk about, and we will see you in a week. Until then, Tim?
May the Force be with you.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill, Spend, and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.